Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Business Brew. I am your host, Bill Brewster. This is not a Business Brew episode, at least not a typical one. This is one for the golfers out there. If you're not a golfer, you may not want to listen. That said, I do think it's an interesting episode about podcasting, but it is primarily golf. I'm not going to lie to you. Mike and Eli are two guys that decided that they would drop everything to get better. Well, not everything. They stayed committed to their family and their jobs, which is arguably a mistake. But they said that they would stop everything that they were doing that was extracurricular, focus all their energy on golf, and they started a podcast. And it's been one of the better auditory experiences that has entered my life in the past few years. The podcast that they started is called Chasing Scratch. They are two guys. They started in their late 30s, now they're in their early 40s, and they are chasing scratch, trying to achieve the goal. And it's been really fun to listen to what has gone on, the ups and the downs. You listen to them get sponsored by Titleist. Like, a lot of cool stuff has happened to these guys, and they deserve it. They strike me as two guys that would be super cool to hang out with. And I asked them if they'd do a podcast about podcasting and about their podcast. So that is what this episode is. Not a typical one, but one I wanted to do, and hopefully some of you enjoy. I'll go ahead and say it. This episode is sponsored by Stratosphere.io. That's Stratosphere.io. Should any of Mike and Eli's fans be looking for a modern financial data platform, feel free to check out Stratosphere.io. The founder, Braden, is a great guy. I've enjoyed using it. I don't let people sponsor me unless I can understand what the value proposition of their platform is. And it's super intuitive. You can click on companies that you're interested in. Yesterday, I was researching the Spirit Airlines merger. All the filings are in one place. You've got the super investors that are invested in it. You click the left and it's there. And should you sign up for some of the more paid offerings, you get KPIs. Spirit did not have KPIs. I'm going to ping the team, and I guarantee you that they're going to end up putting them in, because that's what Braden and his team do. They make the product better when they're told that something is missing. So that's my pitch, Stratosphere.io, Stratosphere.io. And should you want to sign up for the KPIs and whatnot, use the promo code BREW, B-R-E-W, for 15% off. All right, on to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, different episode this week, not exactly finance, joined by Mike and Eli, some of the guys that are in my ear on a weekly basis, the hosts of the Chasing Scratch podcast. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, doing well.
Thanks for coming on. I'm repping the merch. Anyone that likes the hat, go to the store. These gentlemen's wives designed some nice stuff.
They did. It's a good looking hat. You look good in it, man.
I'm on another podcast, and I was in charge of the merch, and you can tell that my wife was not involved. It is not great.
Well, it looks good.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, it's yours. You know, first of all, I want to thank you guys for having Madonna in my head. I was catching up on some episodes, and Take a Bow has now been stuck in my brain.
If you listen to Take a Bow and you try to, you can't get out of your head for at least a day.
Like, no, I was walking around trying to matador everybody I knew after about 2 minutes of the song. It just, nobody understood anything. They were like, "Why are you doing that? Why do you keep pulling that piece of paper away from my face? It makes no sense."
It's an odd office tactic.
Yeah, it was
I
weird.
Like it.
Yeah.
I then I went to the Immaculate Collection. So basically, I've just had Madonna nonstop. But anyway, that's not what this podcast is about. So I was saying to you guys before we started, I've always liked audio entertainment, and I'm interested in the podcast business, right? Having one, you know, it's interesting how many people have one. And something I'm thinking about as I have one is like, why do I even do this? And for me, one of the greatest things that has come out of podcasting has been the connections that I've made. And, you know, I listened to your show, and I'd love to start with how you guys started the concept of the podcast that you have. And if you want to give some background of what it is, you know, for people that don't know, we are three guys all around 40, all chasing scratch. So I like your pod. I like how it started. And then I want to talk to you a little bit about the monetization strategy and then the frequency of recording. You've really stepped that up recently. So anyway, that's kind of the outline of the conversation. And I was hoping that we'd talk about the genesis of the pod a little bit in the beginning.
Okay. Yeah. So basically, it started. Eli and I have been buddies since college. We play golf every time we get together. Ever since we've left college, every time we got together, it was to play golf. And we just got, after a few years, it was just like, man, we get on these golf trips and we play terrible. And we said, what if we stop playing rec basketball? What if we stop doing anything else other than, you know, not stop, you know, being a good parent and husband and worker, but
that would be tough to give up.
We were like, what if we just gave up on our families and just focused on golf?
But what if you took any other extracurricular activities away and just focused on golf, how good could we get? And we said, and at the time it wasn't even necessarily a podcast, but Eli had always said it was Eli's idea to do a podcast from many years ago. He actually bought both of us microphones, and I was like, why do I have a microphone? He's like, because we're gonna do a podcast. I was like, about what? And so we decided, hey, let's try to get really good at golf. Let's see how good we can get in 1 year, and then we'll record it. We'll just record our conversations, and then maybe we'll turn that into a podcast. We don't know. And then so a few months into it, we were like, okay, I think this could be a podcast. And so we set out to do just 1 year, and then now we're on year six. I think the good news for a longevity podcast, if you're trying to get to scratch, it's going to take you more than 1 year.
It didn't look like it for a minute, man. You guys came out of the gate and you became like, you guys went from like 12s to 3s and had me questioning everything about my life. I was like, if these guys get to scratch this quickly, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely a season there with golf where it's easy to clip off some low-hanging fruit with things that, you know, are just kind of don't be a moron type stuff. And then just practicing, you know, just hitting golf balls regularly. You know, there's a lot of things that just got cleaned up quickly. But, you know, we hit a certain point, and it's funny because I said it probably looks scripted, but Mike and I literally hit our low number is the exact same low number. And we both hit that, and it was like plateau, and we just could not get lower than that. But you know, like Mike said, it's a brilliant strategy for just never having an end to your podcast. So
well, we'll get into it, but you guys almost had an end, and I'm glad that you decided you know, to sort of change the focus, but we'll get into that down the road. I am happy for you guys that there's no more rope hook, pull hook, rope hook.
I'm not happy. That was my favorite part of the show.
You never know. You never know, though.
It can come out at any time, but it sounds like it comes out a little less consistently these days.
I've got more fixes for it. I might hit two or three rope hooks in a row, but after that, I can probably do something else about it.
That's my miss, too. The problem with that miss is it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
No, it does not.
It's going out of bounds.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. You're going to hit it hard, though. You'll feel good about that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. So you guys, you started out. How much of a back catalog did you send Lenny? Lenny's the producer, for those that don't know, like my Matthew Passy.
Yeah. So we recorded for probably, what, Eli, 3 or 4 months
mm-hmm.
before we decided, hey, this is a podcast. And then we decided to figure out how we were going to do the podcast. And then, so yeah, we started in August of 2017. Our first episode was March of 2018. So we had about 6 months worth of material to go through. And we did reveal who Lenny is, Bill. I'm not sure if you heard that.
I don't know exactly who Lenny is.
Okay. Lenny is my computer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So Lenny is you.
Lenny's me. Yeah.
I see. Now, I was listening to the listener questions. I must have missed this, but you said Lenny's a real person.
Lenny is a real person. It's explained.
It's the mouse inside the computer, huh?
the computer was named. It's the dumbest story ever, but it's on the last episode of last season. So there's the full Lenny backstory, but
huh?
So
you're doing it yourself.
We did.
What's your background in like content editing?
Not much. So we just kind of learned a lot on the fly. In a previous job, I did a little bit of video editing. So I knew video, but I did not know audio, and I didn't know, you know, I didn't know really podcasting, but I listened to a lot of podcasts and we knew what we liked. And I think that was our main goal from the start, is we just wanted to put something together that we liked. We had no goals of doing anything beyond a year. It was like, hey, this could just be a cool story. Let's just see if we like it and our family and our friends like it. And then that was going to be it.
Well, we had it. We had a two-part, basically a two-part litmus test. You know, we said if we could create something that people could actually get better at golf, you know, it was like, hey, it'd be really cool if people were like, hey, I'm learning some things that are helping me get better at golf. We were like, that would be really cool.
But or learning things not to do.
Not to do. That's still learning.
How to not rope hook it.
But the second thing was we were big fans of Serial. The podcast, and we said, you know, if we could create something that was binge worthy, you know, where people would sit down and they would rip through three or four episodes.
Me and three friends have gone through your entire back catalog, which is probably why I don't know exactly who Lenny is. It's all like blending together. I've lived like 6 years of your life in, I don't know, a month and a half.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of our, you know, from a production standpoint, that was our biggest test was, you know, do people sit down and will they consume it in, you know, multiple episode quantities? And we thought if they do that, we've probably got something that's halfway decent. That was the whole thought in how we told the story and how we did everything.
First of all, so I don't forget, the thing that you recently were like, Lenny, cue the music for stuff we have to say. I almost fell over laughing when you said that. I love that. I thought that was amazing. Yeah, I totally agree. So I, you know, this is a finance podcast, and for me, like, I had a situation in my life where I had to figure out how to manage some money and for my family, and I, you know, I read books and stuff, but I've always loved radio and I've always loved, you know, listening to podcasts. And I thought to myself, how can I make something that I want to listen to? And if I can help others learn along this journey with me. And I'm fortunate to have friends. I mean, kind of like your golf network, right? Like, I have friends that some people don't have access to. So if I can spread that, and then, you know, some good karma can be returned. And like it's funny because monetization, I thought was the goal. And now it's like not even, I would say it's a bottom five reason that I even do this.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to like lose money doing it, but it is kind of the friends I've made along the way, to be a little bit cheesy, but it's amazing. And, you know, I'm listening to you guys and then the call from Titleist comes in. What was that like? First of all, what balls are you playing? I don't think you were playing Vices at the time, but maybe.
No, we had already switched back. Yeah, we tried Vices and people said.
But you did have that putter, right? Which now resides at some brother's residence.
We had the prophecy. Eli had the prophecy.
Yeah, yeah. It was returned back to Mordor, I think.
No, I remember specifically, I was driving home from work and Eli called me and he was like, you need to check our Twitter right now. And I was like, why? And he was like, you need to stop the car and check who we got a message from. And it was Titleist. And we were just like, did they have the right podcast? Like, did they... did they message the wrong people? Because it was shocking.
Well, Titleist had always been that brand too that Mike and I were like we never set out to do this to make money. We just were like, oh, this would be cool to do. And Mike and I are both wired very creatively, and we thought this will be fun, you know, a fun thing to do together, and you know, whatever. But in the rare instances where we were like, man, if this ever got to a point where, you know, sponsors wanted to be a part of it, Titleist was the only name we mentioned. We were like, it'd be really cool if a company like Titleist like wanted to be affiliated. So they were, it was like, yeah, like Mike said, we were like, what? Wait, this has to be a mistake.
Yeah. I selfishly, I'm really glad that you guys did it, because listening to you talk about like the Titleist ball tour and I mean, having access to like Scotty Cameron and Vokey, like it's been really cool. I can't imagine what it's been like for you guys.
Yeah, it's every experience we've had with Titleist has been insane. But really, kind of like what you were saying, it's the people. Like everyone there has been so nice to us and is such a genuine person. That's been the best part. That's been the best. Like even all the cool stuff we've got to do, it's more the people there that we've met that's actually probably, I'd say, better than some of the cool stuff, the TPI, the great fitters that we've had a chance to get fit by. Like, that's awesome. But the relationships are even better than that.
Yeah. And they're just, like Mike said, they're just good. Like, they've moved with a lot of these people. It's moved beyond like, oh, this is our partner, this is our connection at Titleist, to like, these are people I like hanging out with and spending time with. And, you know, I was laughing the other day, Mike and I were getting text messages from one of them the other day who were doing a fitting with some pros, and they were sending us messages. Hey, this pro is a shark. He's shark over polar bear. This guy's polar bear over shark, and here's why. And you know, there was a video they sent us of one of the players that was like, all right, look, here's why I'm a shark guy. And it was like, man, these guys, they're just, I said, the Titleist people, it's beyond just, you know, this is our sponsor and partner, and you know, it's kind of like they're just friends, and you know, we all happen to share the same, you know, the same hobby.
So, not everyone's going to understand the shark polar bear thing, but now after this, you're going to. Let's get the actual facts out here from a hypothetical. Now, are we talking that this, you got a big swimming pool?
Big swimming pool.
But let's talk about the pool, right? It's not greater than 6 feet in depth?
Not greater than 6 feet.
Olympic size.
Okay. So it's basically an Olympic swimming pool, and you've got a great white that is not eaten in a month against a polar bear that also has not, and they are going to fight to the death.
That's yes. True.
9-foot polar bear.
So I was on Team Shark, and then I talked to somebody who's in. He's well. Hang on, I'm open to coming back.
No, Bill, you're on the right track.
He said he's dove with great whites, and they attack from the bottom.
By choice. So, they could attack any. They could attack from up top. They could drop out of a ceiling tile if they wanted to. That's just where they choose to attack from.
I'm not sure that I buy the ceiling tile thing, but I can understand. So you have a very fast swimming shark, wide open. Polar bear goes to swipe him, loses his paw. That's it. Then he's bleeding out. The other side is the polar bear is just beating him up, right? So, and he's not comfortable attacking. And now my brain, the amount of time I spend on this stupid fucking question is not nearly as much as you guys, but it's a decent amount. I'm walking around asking random people, what do you think of this? Yeah.
It's tough for me, but when you see videos of sharks trying to catch like turtles, they don't have the best aim. And
turtles?
Have you seen the
video? Turtle's
got
a protective shell.
No, but like he misses him. Like they miss if the shark doesn't catch somebody by surprise, like when they attack, their eyes close and they lunge. And a polar bear, I think, can move out of the way, and then
in
it's
water
over.
In a pool.
If I put you 2/3 deep into water and I swim, and a shark swims at you full
speed,
have you
seen a polar bear move in water?
You're not
seen
the biotic man.
Have you seen the polar bear jump out of the pool? He's submerged in the pool. He jumps out.
Bill, you see what happens? We're just right back into it. We're right yeah, back no, into but it.
But the thing is, it's a good question, and it's an important thing for everybody to think about.
But the line of demarcation is the 6 feet. The argument, if you go 5 feet or 7 feet, the argument is completely different.
I'd give you 8 feet. It's not going to matter. The more I've learned, the more Team Bear I'm on.
Really? So, and you've had this conversation for a very long time.
Very long years. Time. Someone just asked the chat GPT, whatever that thing is, the AI.
Yeah.
It's Team Polar Bear.
Okay, but it's also wrong a decent amount.
But it just knows everything. No, the machine knows. The machine knows.
She knows.
Well, it's definitely confident in its incorrect answers that I will give you. That's funny. Well, now hopefully that becomes a thing on my show, because I do think it's a virus that should spread. So, all right. So Titleist comes in And what, you start the TPI not long thereafter, right?
Well, no, we probably had, or I was trying to think, Mike, was TPI the very next, actually, yeah, it probably was. We went out to, we went out and played a trip. We took a trip to Vegas and to California, and that was the first time.
The day before COVID started.
The day before
basically.
COVID. Yeah, basically, the, it was our last day on the trip.
Oh, yeah,
was
that's
the
right.
Day.
You were supposed to have a really good COVID trip,
yeah,
right?
That was, when that, it was literally the day they canceled the March Madness for college men's basketball, and they canceled the players and all that stuff the same week. But we went out to TPI, and of course, just to top it off, it poured in San Diego. It was like one of the 4 days a year where it actually rains. But yeah, that was our first trip out to TPI, which was still an unbelievably awesome experience. You know, the bummer was we couldn't hit wedges because it was so wet. But it was the place is like nirvana if you're a golf nerd. It was ridiculous.
I think you know, something that you guys have me thinking about at least is for those that don't know, Eli, when he began, you had a bit of a fast food habit.
Putting it mildly.
I think it's changed a lot, but you've got me thinking, it's funny. I mean, it's funny what triggers thoughts in my head, at least. But I've been thinking about like pre-work routines. I've been thinking about like, what do you have to do to be ready to get up every day? And, you know, I think your comment on... What have you guys been saying lately that you can't prepare like a casual golfer and expect to accomplish your goal, and that you've got to prepare as though you're, you know, more than just that. And I'm thinking about how to apply that in many areas of my life.
Yeah,
it's interesting, and it's been an interesting journey to watch you guys go through. Like, look, if I'm going to do this, like I can't eat like I used to and all that other stuff.
Well, I think a lot of it too is just I think that's probably been the common thread with the show is, you know, we don't have, there's no like, you know, selling everything we own, and you know, there's a chef and a nutritionist and, you know, fitness specialists, and like we just got them 24/7, you know, sitting here at the house. Like, we're dealing with all the same crap that everybody listening is dealing with. You know, we've got our bodies are getting older. They're changing. The things that hurt us at the start of this whole thing 6 years ago, or the things that didn't hurt us, are hurting us now. And on top of that, we've got kids and, you know, just time commitments. And, you know, it's kind of like, how do you manage that? And I think that's been a thread too, is how do you pursue something with all those things going on and pursue it well? And, you know, I think it's just as a life lesson, that's probably something I've taken away more than anything. And that I'm, you know, I'm using to help relay stuff to my kids. Cause I'm like, man, I wish I would have known that when I was 15, 16, 18, 20, it's just the process of learning. And, you know, I've found things that I do well and things that just need reprogrammed. Even just understanding how to get better. You know, I think my idea of how to get better was just so off. And as many times as I've read get 1% better a day and all that, like, this is in one ear, out the other. It was like, nah, I think I can get 80% better in like 2 weeks. And I'll just go all in. And, you know, it's not sustainable. So I just think there's been a lot of those lessons along the way that they're not even golf related, you know, so much. It's like anything you want to pursue, like there's just certain things you need to know, you need to rewire. And, you know, my coach Larry's the one who said, you know, what you referenced, which is, hey, you think of yourself as a casual golfer, which I did, you know, up until this, you know, 2 months ago. Said, you know, if you really want to get good at this, you're going to have to think of yourself as a competitive golfer, you know, a tournament golfer, and you're going to have to pursue it like that, which was, you know, that was a little eye opening. It was like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. It's great because to me, it has this element of like, I don't want to say self-help, but I do think it's like self-help. I mean, I can like see a lot of what I struggle with in my life in your show, and it creates like, you know, it creates a fan, right? Because it's common ground. You know, going back to just sort of the business of the podcast, I mean, now you guys have the Stuff We Have to Say music, you've got sponsors and whatnot. Like, how much of a driver is monetization for y'all now?
I mean, it's more than it was, because before, I mean, it's a big part of our income now, specifically my income, because about a year and a half ago, I left the job I had to start my own company. The podcast was one of many projects I work on. Now it's one of two projects that I work on. So just automatically it becomes a little bit more important for monetization. But I think what we've always kind of stuck to is, you know, we've been pretty picky about who we have agreed to deal with. And it's been, we have to love the product and believe in it to partner with them. And I think the other thing that is, they've got to let us do it our way.
Yeah.
Because like the stuff we have to say, music, that's the, we don't want to do that very much. And so that's the one thing we have to say. Every other partner of ours does, you know, there's nothing we have to say. And that's how we like it. And we think that's better for them. And everyone we partner with kind of agrees for that, you know, the way we can naturally talk about something that we actually like and use is better for a sponsor than reading something off a script.
100%. And it actually, like, when you introduce that to it, I mean, I listen to Tim Dillon too. And like when the way he does his reads, I mean, as a brand, you may not like, you know, if you're in business school, you may be like, I don't know that I want people doing that to my brand. On the other hand, people actually listen, right? And like when you say something in an authentic way, and you're like, look, I use this product and, you know, this is what I'm going to say about it. I think it goes much, much further. And it's nice that advertisers are kind of on board with that.
Athletic Greens is a great example because that's the one with the stuff we have to say music. But it's like 8 seconds of things that we have to say. And it's surrounded by us saying that if you take Athletic Greens, you will live into eternity. And I think when we first introduced Athletic Greens, we said it was the equivalent of eating 80,000 carrots was what Mike said.
Yeah.
So like, I think that, you know, these people and you know, I mean, I just know for me personally, like I listen to other podcasts. You know, I'm a Bill Simmons podcast guy. I like listening to his stuff every now and then. I completely fast forward through the first 3 minutes because I know it's ads. And, you know, I think most people listen to our ads because we've, you know, and that's all Mike. I mean, he's done them creatively and they're funny and it's almost like part of the show. And even with, you know, some of the companies, I mean, like Titleist is a great example. Titleist is really not even, I mean, they're just a character in the story now. You don't even think of them as, you know, oh, they're, it's a read or whatever, and because that's not how we view them. You know, we view them as a character in the story.
We've barely ever done anything purposeful with Titleist because it just naturally comes up. I mean, it's just like, it's the ball we play, it's the clubs we play.
Yep.
And we're Titleist, talking about our round. It's like, it's just,
there's no number of mentions. There. Yeah. It's not like you have to mention us. You have to say this, you know, usually when we talk about Titleist, it's like, oh, I was, this made a difference, you know, or this thing we were fit for. Like, it was legit. We were out in the course. We saw it. But I also think that's why, like, most of the other sponsors are people that, and we haven't talked a whole lot about this on our show, but they're mostly people that we like their stuff already. And we said, hey, we'd like to talk about your stuff because we use it, you know, we use it now, and it'd be super easy for us to just talk and gush over about how much we love it. And we said, hey, if you'd like to partner with us, we already are partnering with you all. So we'd like to just tell people about it. And it's been a much more effective way, I think, to partner with brands because, you know, we're already using this stuff and people can genuinely tell how much we like it.
Yeah. That's been my general philosophy as well. I don't take sponsors unless I like the founder, believe in the product, and, you know, I'm comfortable saying, like, I co-sign this, right?
Right.
You know, it's maybe not the most lucrative short-term strategy, but I think long-term, it's the best way to build, like, a true partnership. So it's been really a joy to watch you guys. You know, it's funny because part of why I want to have this conversation, this is an investing show typically, and, you know, a lot of us debate Spotify a lot of the time, and one of the potential avenues that they think that they can or some of the bullish takes on Spotify. They think that they're going to make a bunch from streaming ad insertion. But I'm kind of like you. I mean, if I'm listening to a show and the show just breaks off into an ad, and specifically like a non-host read ad, I just fast forward through it.
Yeah.
And most host read ads, if unless they're done in a way that makes me want to like listen, I just don't listen to it. So I'm very interested to see how the business of podcast advertising goes, because I think here's an example. I trust you guys. I know what you think about Titleist. You guys have me thinking about whether or not I need to go get fit for which ball I play. Like, somebody gave me the Pro V1 left slash or whatever.
Oh, left dash, yeah.
Yeah, and like, I didn't think that would be the ball for me. And then, I don't know, I played it the last two rounds, and like, I'm hitting the ball straighter than I have. It's not spinning like the Pro V1 does, but I'm not sure I need it, because that spin creates the rope hook. you know, it's just like something that I'm like, okay, I need to check this out. I play Callaway wedges now. I had Vokies for a while. I'm trying to find the right bounce in my wedges. I'm open to Vokey. Like, they're going to be in my tryouts. You know, so it's like one of those things that I think I think the Titleist partnership with you guys has definitely driven me to thinking about what my equipment is like and whether or not I need to check them out. And what more can you ask for if you're a brand?
The Titleist has also let us, they've never said, oh, you can't say that.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I remember that being like a key part of your negotiation with them. Yeah. You're like, we got to be authentic.
We have to say what we genuinely feel. And I think, like you mentioned, the Vokey wedges. You know, we went down and got fit because we couldn't do the TPI fitting the first time we went out there because it was raining. Wedges were the only place we didn't get fit because it was just sopping wet. So I think it was last year, Mike, the beginning of last year, the first thing we did, actually probably around this time, you know, maybe in early March, late February, we went down to Atlanta and one of their fitters met us down there and ran us through a Vokey fitting. And we flat out said, and we put this out there when we put the episode out, we said, look, we just didn't think we needed wedges. You know, our wedges weren't that old, that, you know, like, it wasn't that big of a deal, and we thought they were pretty solid. And we got down there and we saw the impact that being in the right the right grind had, you know, having the right setup on the club, and then also just having fresh grooves. We were like, whoa, okay. We thought that was marketing BS.
We did.
Yeah.
And we said it like that, Mike, if I remember correctly. We were like, we thought this was just marketing.
Yeah, we did a confession at the start of the episode and said, when they asked us to get fit for wedges, we were like, okay, I don't know what kind of content we're going to get out of this, because I guess we'll get fit for wedges, but I mean, I think you should get fit for driver and irons, but I mean, wedges, really? And then we found out, man, yeah, you should definitely get fit for wedges, because it was the amount, the change in, based on how steep your swing is and how the bounce affects how you hit the ball, just shot after shot, handing us different wedges, was like, it blew me away.
There's this place around here, and the guy was like, yeah, you got to come in every 6 months for wedges. And I was like, bullshit, that's how you're compensated, right? But I do know that, sharp grooves really do matter on wedges a lot. And it's been, it's, you know, for me personally, it's like a shame when I feel like marketing is telling the truth, because I'm like, damn it, I wanted to resist that, you know, but turns out not everyone is lying to me. And for some reason that disappoints me. I don't know why.
Well, and I
think because I'm sick.
I think too, you know, you just like, especially in golf, if you're really working at it, your swing, it can change so much in 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. And, you know, we went back out to TPI last fall, and, you know, Mike's clubs were, they weren't the right, you know, fit anymore, because his swing had drastically changed in a year, year and a half. And so they said, hey, we need to tweak these. You know, we need to make some changes based on all the work you've been doing on your swing. And, you know, it's amazing to go through that process, because, and I went out there not being able to hit a driver because of changes I had made in my swing. And, you know, they work with you for 30 minutes. And I'm kind of like you, Bill. Like, we documented this early in the show, because Mike wanted me to get fit for a new driver in like the second season. And I was like, I don't need a new club. The club has nothing to do with it. Like, I'd rather invest that money in lessons, and that's where I'm going to get the best return. And we argued about it for a while. And then I went and got fit, and it was like, oh, you know, you need lesson work, but you also need to be in the right equipment. And, you know, I said, we were out at TPI and it was in 30 minutes, they changed, you know, they corrected what had been a huge point of frustration for 2 months. But yeah, I just think you have to be authentic, and when something works, it works. And when it doesn't, like, it's okay to say, no, that's really not what you're making it out to be. And they have given us, and really everybody we partner with has given us complete freedom, really, to just say, you know, from our viewpoint, what we like, you know, why we use it. And it's worked out well.
So you guys think that I need 80,000 carats in my life?
Biotin.
Biotin. Yeah, you need more biotin. Biotin. I can already tell you need more biotin.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I look, they've kind of hit me from all angles, and then they got you guys, and I was like, if they got them, I guess I got to try this stuff.
Well, literally, Mike was on the call. I couldn't hop on the call. Mike was on the first call with Athletic Greens when we were talking about doing this. And, you know, didn't you ask him? You were like, hey, Reed, and, you know, I want to tell him while we're taking it, but none of these ingredients make sense to me. I know they're all good for me. Can I just tell them that, you know, like, is there a measurement you guys have? What's the carrot
equivalent? Yeah,
that's carrot the equivalent. Carrot equivalent. I think you said you were like, can I say like it's 80,000 carats is the equivalent of taking one scoop of Athletic Greens? They were like, I don't think we're real comfortable with that.
But they were comfortable with us saying you will live forever.
You will live forever. So that's good. Yeah.
There you go. And you were like, by the way, I'm going to drop the 80,000 carat thing anyway.
That's right. So. That's right. But if you don't,
that's how dealing with me is going
to
be.
But Bill, if you don't have a pair of Vuori joggers, you have to try that, because that will change your life.
I hear they're good in the swimming pool too.
it's a tight fit.
Just don't get out. Don't get out of the swimming pool. If you stay in the swimming pool, they are money. But yeah. Get a quick towel.
It's all right.
Quick towel.
If
wrap.
You get out,
quick towel.
You don't. Yeah. You don't want people around, or they may not want it. Yeah. You may. I don't know what you're into.
It's not going to hide a lot. For sure.
Don't act like you're not impressed. You know.
That's right. It was cold.
I was in the pool.
So shrinkage. So you guys, it appears as though you've got the Velcro. How did the Velcro start? It's your Patreon, and like, how did that idea come about?
That came from listeners. We all of our good ideas come from other people, basically. So we had people on the that listened and were, they were like, hey, you guys should give us your bone, like whatever you guys edit out, you should put that somewhere where we could get bonus content. And then they said, yeah, and we would love to like meet other listeners. And so there was like, we got that request maybe probably a dozen times over a couple of years. And then, so we finally, and I think Eli and I were both like, I just don't know if we have anything else to say. Like what do people really want to hear from us? So we did
movie jokes.
What's that?
Further movie jokes, yeah. Further pop culture references, yeah. Madonna tapes, pitting more singing,
pitting more animals against each other. There's only so many things you could do.
But I mean, so it was
falconry.
Falconry's
discussions on falconry.
We still need to actually go do falconry. My mom got me a gift card to do falconry, and we haven't been able to do it. But
I think everybody needs more everybody falconry
needs
in their
to
life.
Do falconry. But yeah, so that, I mean, it started based on that idea. We kind of just put a few things out there, and now we do a second weekly show. That is
off the rails.
It's it's loosely related. It's not even related to golf. It's just whatever is on our mind. We talk about Eli's AAU team. We talk about food a lot. But
anything we think about.
But seriously, that's been, if when people ask us like what's our best accomplishment or what we were most proud of, it's that community, and it wasn't even our idea, but. The friendships that we've made in that community and the friendships that have become, I mean, like we've got people in there that will come to every event we've done, and they don't really come to see us. they come to see their friends that are in that, you know, golf community. And it's just the most, it's the nicest, funniest, just most accepting group, of people. And, yeah, that's been a, just a gift for us.
Does it feel weird to have fans? Like, you're quasi famous in a small niche.
It does feel strange. Yes.
Yep.
When I asked you to come on, were you like, is this guy going to be like a fanboy or?
No.
I only asked because
business podcast. Does he have us mixed up with somebody else? What?
Yeah. What are we going to say?
Maybe he messaged the wrong people.
Negative. I thought my pitch was quite good.
You had a great pitch.
Yeah. Well, hang on. I'm going to see if I found it because I was listening to you guys and one of you was like, I'm done. I quit. And I said,
that would have been me.
Yeah. I said, golf cred, currently a 4 handicap, just used the ripstick after shooting 73. I played so badly. I literally walked off the course to quit.
There it
took
is.
Me 8 Palmeiro. Hours to come Palmeiro. Back.
Yeah.
Dude, what a frustrating game. I was the round before I hit like 12 out of 14 fairways. I was slinging wedges at pins. I had the confidence. I go back out and it's like I can't even draw the club back without doubting myself.
That's golf.
I was watching the full swing thing yesterday and
it's so good.
Yeah, and I think it was Koepka was like, yes. when you're on in golf, it feels like it will never leave you. And then when you're off, you feel like you can't get it again. And that's exactly like I think that's just what's so crazy is no matter how many times you know, hey, this is fleeting. I'm on fire right now, but this is not going to last forever. I still can't convince myself. Like as soon as I get to that point for multiple rounds, it's like you have reached a new level. You will never go back down. And then so when you do go back down, it just it makes you want to just question everything.
You know what I found so fascinating about that episode, and it's part of what I like about that the Breakpoint show that they do also, but like here's Koepka and like he's obviously way better than us, but he struggles with the exact same stuff, and it's pretty amazing. I thought that episode will probably be my favorite. That's where I'm through, but I thought that episode was very illuminating on potentially why he made the live decision.
Yeah.
Like what he was going through. I played the medalist last summer, was even through 8, shot 86. Thanks a lot.
Oh, no.
That back 9 was real fun. But he played through.
Oh, really?
And I was like, it was amazing. I was like, somebody was like, Koepka's behind us. I was like, he's playing through 100%.
Yeah.
Like, we got to slow down. But it was cool to see him. But, you know, he's an interesting case because somebody said, you know, he doesn't practice much, so it must be a major. And I didn't know what major was coming up, but whatever it was. And sure enough, it was the next week. It might have been the PGA or something. What's in the summer? Maybe it was the Open.
Yeah.
Like the U.S. Open.
I don't know. I mean, because I thought that's what was interesting on the episode, because he puts off the persona that he doesn't care that much. But that, I mean, he cares a lot about competing and being the best. Like you could see, unless he was doing a really good acting job.
No, I thought he really let them behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I appreciate him doing it, but when I was watching it, I was like, I wonder if he's going to watch this and regret letting them see so much.
Yeah. I literally just started the series last night and I watched the first 2 episodes, and the Koepka thing, I felt myself, I'm not a big Koepka fan, but like halfway through the episode, I was like, gosh, I feel bad for the guy. Like he's kind of letting it all out. And I think there's that part where he says, I can't compete against, I think it's when he went home early. Was it the Masters? Yeah. I think he went home early from the Masters and missed the cut. And he said, I can't compete against these guys on a day in, day out basis. I was like, gosh, that, like, I don't care if you like him or not. That's a pretty, there's a certain level of humility it takes to say that in front of a camera that, yeah. I was pretty shocked by, but.
And I thought the other really interesting thing is he's saying that after he's got this huge trophy case in his house that's got 4 major, you know, trophies in it and a bunch of empty spaces, I kind of wonder if those empty spaces are like haunting him now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because once you lose, when you have that confidence and you have all that empty spaces, all there is hope. But if you don't have your hope anymore, all that empty spaces is a reminder of what you're not accomplishing, potentially. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a reminder of failure.
If I was his coach, I might be like, you should maybe take these, these away.
Yeah, let's put some family pics up here.
We need Dr. J to hook up with Brooks Koepka.
Yeah. So, Eli, what does coaching do for your life? I have started to coach I was an assistant for my kids' flag football. The happiest moment of my life. I don't know if my local community loves me because we were getting we were getting blown out, and I called the right plays. We go down the field, we score a touchdown, and I, like an asshole, spike the ball so hard it goes into some other game. But I couldn't control my excitement. I was so happy for these kids, you know?
Yeah.
So what does it give you?
Well, I think for me, so I played basketball in college, but I had just so much regret over the path that basketball took me on in college. You know, everybody that plays college basketball, my goal since I was a kid was not to play in the pros. You know, I'm from Kentucky. You know, we don't have a pro team. Division I basketball is the peak of what you want to do basically when you're growing up here. And all I wanted to do was play Division I basketball in college. And so, you know, I did that. And when I got to school, I thought, well, I had a good high school career. I'll just have a great college career. And, you know, you fail to realize everybody that's on the team had a good high school career. And they were all, everybody could play, everybody could score. And, you know, the experience just wasn't, I mean, it was great. And I met wonderful people that are friends for life. And, you know, we had a really good run as a team over a couple of years. All that was wonderful. But just for me personally, you know, I didn't hit a lot of the goals that I had set for myself. And when basketball ended, you know, most people that I knew would go off to play, you know, overseas in Europe and kind of do that for a couple of years and then, you know, come back and kind of start their life. And man, I was so burnt out when we got to the end of basketball my senior year. I was just like, I'm done. And that really bothered me. And so when I had kids and when I had boys and they started to like basketball and they, you know, wanted to play competitive basketball, it was like, okay, I want to make sure we put a good foundation in them, not just from a skill, you know, standpoint, but also just those things that I regretted over my career. And Mike and I've hit on, whether I played basketball, Mike, you know, it was funny because Mike had the same issues he was dealing with from sports when he was a kid and just personally. But it's just that being hardwired to be unafraid to go after something, you know, to really compete and to not back down. And that doesn't mean you're going to win, but, you know, you can grow so much through that process. So I think for me, it's really cool. And there's no pure way to do it with young kids. I have a fifth grader and a sixth grader. So, you know, they're not really at that age yet where all kinds of BS gets thrown in, you know, with why they're playing a sport and, you know, self-promotion and all that other garbage. But it's just awesome to see kids. It's awesome to see them rise up and compete and have some success. And, you know, whether that's winning or losing, just rising up to a level and doing something they didn't think they were capable of doing. And I love that. I love it, whether it's sports, whether it's life, you know, your job, whatever it is. So I think for me, it's cool as a parent because I get to take all those things that if I could go back and hardwire myself as a 15, 16, 17 year old, I just get to plant them in my kids when they're 10, 11 and 12, which is awesome. I love that. It's great.
It's funny because, or it's not funny, but what I'm thinking about as you're saying that is there's so many parallels and it's probably exactly what's going on. But with what you're talking about and what this podcast, what I perceive your podcast to be, right? I mean, the thing that's so fun to listen to and to live is, you know, scratch is so elusive, right? And there is such a difference between a 4 handicap and like a scratch. And then there's a big difference. Like, all I want to do is be able to travel to any course and shoot 78 or lower. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to be the 4 that shoots 85, 10 of the rounds and then plays pretty well 10 rounds. And I have this low handicap that you take me out to a country club match, we're getting smoked because I don't know that I can count on my game, you know?
Yep.
and just that consistency and the drive to get better, and the dealing with failure so often, right? Like, it's just been a joy to live, and it's been a joy to listen to you guys go through, and I've really, really appreciated what you guys did at the last season, and I'd love for you to tell my listeners, kind of, you know, not to spoil your show, but I just tell everybody, listen to the whole thing. It's a fantastic audio experience. But, you get to the point last season where you look at each other and kind of go a little bit Brooks Koepka on it, right? Like, scratches what you're not sure you can catch. And, I appreciated the honesty, not the honesty hour, but the honesty of you guys saying, like, are we frauds here? You know, and the reframing of what you're chasing. So I'd love for you to just kind of riff on that a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's something that we've asked. You know, we started out this was a one season show, and then it became a little more than that. But we've always asked each other in the off season, like, do you think we can do this? And the answer has always been yes. Like, it's always been, that's not even a question, because there's something that we haven't done that we're like, that's the answer. And we start every season with, that's the answer. And the end of last season, it was our third year of kind of being at the same handicap, not really improving from a numbers perspective. And I think we both hit it at different points last year, but it was like the realization of, like, you're not close. And I don't think we wanted to admit that to each other, because we didn't know what that meant. Like, and I truly did not know, if I told Eli that I didn't think we were going to make it. Like, we always said, if we don't think we're going to make it, then we're not going to do a show, because we're not going to pretend. Like, that's the worst thing I can think to do, is that we're going to just get on here and not be authentic. And we just thought, like, if we don't believe we can do it, then no one's going to want to listen. We're not going to want to do it. We're like, recording is going to be a chore. We don't want to do that. But it was, so it was interesting. And the moment that was kind of captured was when I kind of finally said, okay, like, because we were really struggling with what the next season was going to look like. And we had this idea that we were going to say, okay, this is going to be the last year. If we don't hit this certain number, then we quit. And then, but that didn't quite feel right. But it wasn't until we actually got really honest and I admitted to Eli, I was like, hey man, I don't think we can do it next year. And Eli's like, I don't think we can either. And then there was like this just really awkward silence, and we didn't know what to say. And then it was like a lot of tension just went out of the room, and everything went back to normal. And then we started to kind of see clearly. And that it was about that same time we started talking to Dr. J. He sent us that Kobe Bryant video about what failure really means, and it's growth over outcomes. And that's kind of when we made that shift. But it really took saying out loud the thing that we didn't want to admit, that led us to that process.
Yeah. I think, I thank Dr. or is it Dr. J? I'm thinking basketball, you know,
his real name is Jason Nowitzki, but yeah, we call him Dr. J.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to thank him for sending me on the Kobe rabbit hole as well.
It's an awesome rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I got so far down that I was watching Chris Bosh talk about Kobe, and I'm not trying to go down a Chris Bosh rabbit hole. That's not the goal here. No offense to Chris Bosh, but I love so much how you reframed what success is and what you're actually chasing. My one fear now as a listener is, what happens if you catch scratch? Is the show going to be done, or is it going to be about constant improvement? I'm hoping it's the latter.
I don't think the show ends if that happens.
When it happens.
I like that. Because I think there's just, I think if you're passionate about something, there's always that next ladder, you know, step of the ladder. You're like, well, I didn't think I could get this. Now that I got this, you know, that's more attainable than I thought it was before. So, you know, we've discussed some pipe dreams that, you know, would be really cool if we could get to one day. But this thing doesn't end when we hit it. I'm very confident in saying that.
I think there was points in our mindset where it would have been, mm-hmm. but because of, like, literally, I mean, it's only like the fifth month of since that really happened, but like that completely changed everything for us. Like that shift in mindset from you're chasing a number as your ultimate goal, but that's not your daily focus. Your daily focus is not on what you shot. It's getting better in one way, and that's success. And with that mindset, like it's literally changed everything about what we've done and how we've approached things. Will that lead to immediate success? I don't know, but I know it's a lot. I think we're just in a lot healthier place. I think we're just hoping we don't get boring.
Nah, I mean, dude, as long as you keep the movie references, Madonna, self-deprecating humor, and you know, as long as Chasing Scratch really continues to represent chasing improvement, you know, and you keep the human side in the show, because you know, I look, I'm chasing improvement too, but you know, I fail, right? And I'm not Kobe. Sometimes I drink, sometimes I don't sleep right, sometimes life gets in the way. And I think that's, you know, that's what makes it relatable. But I think the pop culture references, that said, what was the movie that you or the video that you referenced? Isaac? With all the women. God, that was such a hot video back in the day.
Wicked Game.
Wicked Game.
Yes.
Chris Isaac. Lord.
Yeah. Jeez. She was so hot in that video. But like the only problem, man, is you're going to get aged out of some of these references for the younger people.
No, we're aged out. Although it's really odd.
We're shocked at how many. Yeah.
There's so many people.
How many people like me there are out there that are like, oh, finally someone's telling my pop culture references.
No, the other way. How many people that are like 18 to 24, where we're like, you got, like, how are we interesting to you? I would think everything we talk about are all references that you were
born
just completely lost.
Wayne's World. How do you get any of that?
Yeah. So we're always like, you like the show? Really? Okay, great.
When you guys are talking about music videos, I was like, oh yeah, they remember when MTV was music videos.
When there was actually videos that you watched. Yeah.
Yeah, before it was just reality trash.
Yeah.
Which I happen to watch. The challenge is the fifth major sport. Bill Simmons, right? Anyway, so Mike, what are you doing like with your life? Let's say somebody is they are listening to this and they are enraptured by our conversation, as they should be. And they say, I like Mike. What does Mike do? He said he started a business. Well, how can I support him? How can you answer that question?
Man, to support me right now, you'd support the podcast. I've really only got two projects. I help with the website, and I do the podcast. I basically started a company. It was, I guess you would call it a media company. But I help with some video editing and a couple other podcasts, just being kind of the editor. But as we've kind of grown in size and people have asked for more stuff, like more video, like, you know, for the first 3 years we didn't video anything because we were kind of hiding, because we weren't sure we wanted to go all in on the podcast. Like, you know, one of the themes this year is like the kind of the trying theme, and kind of realizing, you know, it's okay to be a tryhard. It's okay to say you want something. But I think, you know, for a while there we struggled with that, or we didn't know what we wanted from the podcast. So now that we do, there's, you know, it that takes up most of my time is this podcast. So If you want to support me, support the show, I guess.
All right, nice. I think I should be able to put you in about 400 years that are open to the pod. That's my rough estimate.
I love it.
So if we can convert, you know, half of those, which I think we should be able to. People should. When I listen to this pod, I was like, wow, it's kind of like it's kind of a podcast. It's kind of an audiobook. It's kind of a movie. I really, really like what you guys did. And it was like the first golf podcast that I listened to, because all I did was listen to finance, and I'm just kind of burnt out on it. And I was like, shoot, I need something else in my ear. And then, you know, like I said, you guys got me at Madonna references and all the other stuff. I was like, all right, I'm in.
We appreciate that.
How many events are you doing a year? Because you're traveling, like you did the Ireland event. Is that's part of the regular sort of manifestation of where this is all going?
Yeah, that's the other thing that's kind of been added in the past couple of years. We did 3 events last year. We'll do 3 events this year. We've got San Diego in a couple weeks. And then we haven't decided what we're doing in the summer, but then we'll do something around our final match, which you always do in North Carolina. And then we're going back to Ireland in 2024. So
nice.
So we're excited about that. But yeah, that's you know, that's kind of the other thing that it, you know, takes some time. We've luckily got some awesome listeners who just love to help with event stuff and make it so much better than what we would do, because we're not great logistical people. But yeah, the events thing has been cool.
All right. And then I got one more for you, and then I'll let you guys get out of here. But, you know, I, as a fan, and as a content producer or creator or whatever I am, I got a little nervous when you went to weekly. Mm. Is it still fun?
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely still fun. Cause we actually went to weekly. When did we go to weekly, Eli? I guess we went to weekly, but we started in April, 2 years ago. And then we took a couple weeks off, but yeah, that's one thing that Eli and I is really important. And we kind of make sure we check in, because that's the one thing that we never want. It can't be a chore.
The paterfamilias would be very upset.
Yes. The paterfamilias would be upset, but also just like the recording aspect of it. We've always said, like, if one of us is dragging the other person on the phone, like that's not a good. It's not going to be a good podcast. It's not going to be a good friendship after a while. So I think, you know, there's a balance to everything, but so far we're liking the new format.
But, Eli, but also, what would you say? Well, I was going to say, we've been recording weekly for, this will be the 6th season.
Yeah.
It's just that we would lag, the story time would have a lag, you know, we'd build up a catalog of however many episodes, and then we'd release, you know, typically when golf kind of got underway officially, you know, around Masters time. And that worked well, but the problem was, as our audience grew, they would want to talk about things that they just heard on episode one. Well, episode one for us may have been 5 months ago. And, you know, we really wanted to talk about what was going on that week, which was, may have been a breakthrough or something with our swing or something funny that happened. And it was like, oh, we got to hold this. And I think, you know, especially as our Patreon page grew, it was like, you know, we wanted to be able to share more things real time. So, you know, eventually we just made the decision. It's just better. We're having the conversation anyways. It's getting cut up anyways. Like, why don't we just release real time so we can actually tell people what's going on? It just makes the interaction a heck of a lot better.
Yeah, that makes sense. I, as a fan, if one of you feels like you need a break, you know, I don't mind if you say, look, I need to pull back for a little bit. I the fire is lost and I need my loins burning. That would be fine with me. I would understand that. So we'll see. Well, listen, guys, I really appreciate you guys saying yes to coming on the show. I do hope that we drive some listeners to the pod. Maybe a few of them become Velcro members. And I really appreciate what you guys are doing.
Well, hey, thanks for listening and for having us on. This has been fun.
Yeah, this has been awesome, and yeah, appreciate all the kind words. But it's absolute.